good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, March 7th, 2022. Howdy do. Kind of rhymes. Howdy do, Butch.
Hello, Miss Melody. I'm doing fine. We are living in exciting times, aren't we?
We really are. They're exciting, they're frightening, and they're historic. And, of course, when you're living through history, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense because we'll be gone before they actually consider it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
So, are living through it, and people will be talking about this period for a very long time. And but let's go ahead and get started right away. Gold today, we were at 2000, pulled back a little bit, and right now we're at 1999. We're gonna party like it's 1999.
Now, Melody, gold is up in the record 2000. That's a record 2000, right?
We were over it before, but we have to close. Yeah,
okay
we have to close, and probably dependent on what market you look at. Right now I'm looking at the numbers off the New York spot price. So futures contracts, I'm sure, and options, I'm sure they're all over 2000. So, right now though, and the ask price of the New York spot is 1999. Silver is 25.73. That's down 10 cents. Platinum was down 3 at 1129. Palladium was down 28. At 3,052, the first time palladium was over 3,000. I'm sure the dollar got stronger. Yes, that's ready to hit 100. 0.61 to the upside at 99.16, because all the other currencies in the world are just getting hammered. So people are, you know, using the U.S. dollar treasuries in order to do some safe haven buying. Crude oil. Oh, it was over 130. I'm going to go to the my other market to take a look at those to give you the numbers. Oil. WTI, 119.93. That was up $4. Brent, 123, up 5. That was up 4.5%. Now, it did touch 130. Okay, these oil prices did touch 130 earlier in the day. So they did come back a little bit, and I'm sure everyone that's listening to this program and those either live or by recording later on, I'm sure you all have your stories on your gas prices in your area. We'll be talking about some of those here in just a little bit. Stock market, the Dow is down 800 points and 797, down in about a third percent, 32,817. The NASDAQ was down 3.62%, 3.62%, 482 points at 12,830. The S&P was down 3% at 127 points at 4,201. So they tried to stem the losses in the paper markets early in trade, you know, when they first opened and so forth. But they did get hammered this afternoon. And, you know, something else let's see what Asia did. Everybody's negative. They should be. Nikkei was down 3%. Shanghai was down 2%. Hang Seng was down almost 3%. Europe, I'm sure, well, they didn't do as bad, but you got to remember they got hit last week. The DAX was down 2%. FTSE barely down 27 points. France was down a little over 1.25%. So they all got hit. 10-year yield, we're looking at, was positive 0.067, up 1.789%. The U.S. 10-year yield, 1.787%. And I said this earlier to someone, and this is about the paper markets, and this is actually out of Reuters, and the analysis of the markets is there's confusion, but there is no panic. There's no panic out there yet. Because you know what? People don't know what to do. Their financial planners are telling them to hold. Stay put. And, you know, people don't know what to do, so they're not panicking. Even though all these markets, the banks and everything have been hammered. And I got another article here that's kind of interesting, which I need to share. But Western allies' sanctions against Russia have started to blow back in the form of large potential losses for their own banks, companies, investors, often in unexpected ways. And this is all going to filter all across this country. It's not just Russia. There's so much, you know, and that's what people don't get. This David Shamus, he's co-founder of financial services focused private equity firm from Atlas Merchant Capital. He says, we haven't had any of those holy, I'll put it nice in nicer terms, holy moly phone calls. He used the S word, but I'll say holy moly phone calls. There's so much more capital in the system. You know, and Russia is not that big of a deal. Risk management is better, but it all filters down. The Federal Reserve said on Friday financial institutions placed more than $1.4 trillion overnight with it for almost no returns. So, for the moment, it might look like there's enough capital, but it all filters down. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, the financial system is not strong enough to absorb the losses from what is happening. It is a sinkhole, and it is going to grow very rapidly. And that's what you have to look forward to. I mean, we're heading in some very uncertain and very dangerous and frightening times. They are going to take us into that war. I think the Ukraine's president is doing an excellent job, and whoever is behind him is pulling on the heartstrings of people around the world in order to make this a bigger war than it probably needs to be. And that's World War III. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit, too. What's happening over there is a terrible thing. Don't get me wrong. People think that if you talk about the war in different terms, that you don't, that you're supporting Putin. I am not. But these are things we have to talk about. I'm not on anyone's side. You know, I'm looking at it from a purely analytical perspective. So yes, things are, and you know, the poor people, not, you know, the people in Russia, you know, they're getting hit too. So I'm just trying to remind you that we haven't seen a panic yet. The markets are going down in just general terms, but when that panic hits, and I don't know what number is going to make. I remember in 2008, the panic really hit when oil hit 150. And I remember that very clearly. And we're almost there. So think about it. We're at 120, 130, and oil at 150. I always thought was the big moment of the crisis. So there was another article here, Butch, that we're not thinking about. Oh, let me see if I bet I lost it.
And by the way, I have an article here that and they will prove that we're going to go much over 150, folks. 150
oh,
will
sure.
not be the limit. We're going way over that.
Well, I'm just talking about 2008.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
when it seemed that there was a distinct panic-driven
yep.
change was pretty much when oil hit 150. And I have a pretty good memory. So let me see if I can find this article real quick. I had it, and it's about the banks. Oh, here it is. This is... Deutsche Bank braces for massive disruptions due to reliance on Russian IT workers. Who would have thought? while Credit Suisse and by extension its clients face brutal margin calls on their Russian assets. Deutsche Bank is struggling with a different but equally vexing issue involving its Russia exposure. The bank is bracing for the loss of more than 25% of its investment bank IT specialists as sanctions against Moscow threaten to cut off the bank's key tech centers in Moscow and St. Petersburg. According to the Financial Times, the German lender employs some 1,500 people in its Russian tech centers. These employees are responsible for developing and maintaining the software the bank uses for its global trading business, as well as software used by its May corporate banking arm. Since the start of the conflict in Ukraine, the German banking giant has been conducting stress testing and disaster recovery exercises. All right. The bank has already frozen hiring of IT staff in Russia and is already looking into moving more of its IT capabilities to other country. Let me see. Right now they're claiming that there is no immediate systemic risk. Well, they're not going to come out that admit that anyway. Can you imagine what would happen? I mean, it would just be the first domino. But fortunately, Deutsche Bank, the hardware it uses to store data, is still within the U.S. Still losing such a massive chunk of its IT staff would likely have serious repercussions, rendering the bank's order book effectively inoperable. Now, these are some of the scary ones. No quotes can make it out to the market. No negotiations can make it back from the market without passing through this software. Trading is complicated and requires real-time support every day. Without cooperation from the Russian teams, things could start to go wrong almost immediately. I mean, they can't do anything, no quoting. I mean, basically rendering the bank's order books inoperable. What, you don't think that's going to have any type of filter down to every other bank across the globe? It's just not Deutsche Bank. So I thought that was kind of interesting because, again, where are you going to hear this information? You're not going to hear it on any mainstream media. You're not going to hear it anywhere. And that's the problem. So these are the little underlying issues that no one thinks about, that no one ever cares about. You know, like the banks overnight, $1.some trillion. I mean, it's incredible, Butch.
Yes, it is. It is. It really
and there's
is.
No panic. That's, to me, what's shocking. Because we all think it's over there. And that somehow we're protected.
The reality of the situation has not hit us, U.S., yet.
Nope. No, it hasn't.
But it will. It will. You know, and before we go to break, this is a local article. But, you know, we get our eyes focused sometimes on world affairs, and we should. We have to keep remembering, too, that normal people out there every day still trying to make a living, and things are hurting them. And this article is concerning shops in New York City. It said, we're getting creamed. New York City small business owners struggle to confront surge in shoplifting. Folks, we're being taken down, dismantled from the outside, literally worldwide. And now this is still crumbling on the inside also. So New York City's struggling small businesses are dealing with one of the worst spikes in retail theft rates in recent memory. And owners aren't sure whether Mayor Eric Adams' decision to roll back certain COVID restrictions will improve the situation or make it worse. The owner of a couple downtown boutiques said she's never felt more exhausted trying to protect your business from emboldened shoplifters and criminal crews working small retail businesses. Someone shattered the front door overnight and ripped out the cash drawer. The new security gates cost $2,300. The streets become quieter after four neighboring businesses closed permanently during the pandemic, emboldening shoplifters. Two security guards quit. For Deborah Kalsenberger, who has worked in retail for 3 decades, keeping her clothing stores open in Manhattan's Flat Tron neighborhood has never been so exhausting. As small businesses, we are getting cream right now in so many ways, Ms. Kalsenberger said. I might as well leave my store door open and say, help yourselves. According to data from New York Times, shoplifting complaints are up 16% over the past year, while arrests have fallen. I know that's local, and it's not as big a story as Ukraine and Russia, but it's a big story to the ladies going through this, is it not, Melody?
Correct.
You know? And, I mean, we got to remember that we're still living in this country, and small businesses are having to close because of a so-called pandemic, and the ones that are still left are being taken out piece by shoplifters, and the law do nothing about it. But you mentioned earlier about the oil, and I want to get to that very quickly. Oil tops 130 barrel as Russian attacks escalate. We mentioned that already. Went over 130 barrel. Now, this next article, oil traders bet prices will pass $200 a barrel this month, March. They said Bloomberg. Traders piled into options that oil could surge even further after rising to the highest price since 2008, with some even placing low-cost bets of futures surpass $200 a barrel before the end of March. Melody, we're already a week into the month. Prices to buy call options at the higher prices surged Monday as the market assessed the possibility of a supply cutoff from Russia, one of the world's biggest exporters. More than 1,200 contracts for the option to buy May Brent futures at $200 a barrel trade on the Monday, according to ICE Future Europe data. The options expire March 28th, 3 days before the contract settles. The price to buy them jumped 152% to $239 a barrel. Is that powerful or what?
Oil, and we haven't seen anything yet.
No, we haven't. Gas prices already averaged $4 a gallon nationwide. Already, just when I went to church Saturday morning, I left here at 8:30 or a quarter after 8. Time I got home about 4:15, the price had jumped 30 cents from $2.69.9 to $2.99.9. I can't afford to leave home again. But anyway, it jumped 30 cents while I was going. Now, if it goes to 200 plus a barrel, it's going to make the price closer to $5 regular gas. It's already that high in some places.
It's already there here. Going.
Yeah, it is. It is. So this is, folks, this is for real stuff. This is for real life. This is happening right now this week. This isn't next month, next year, or just trying to predict the future somehow. No, no, no. We told you 2 or 3 months ago gas would go over $100 a barrel, and it's already surpassed that. Now they're saying over $200 a barrel before the end of the month. It's going to really damage my pocketbook and my bills and what I pay for, and we're getting the food shortages in a little bit. We're getting shorter on food. The price to bring it over here and to grow it is going out of sight. Folks, we're in for real, real trouble ahead. You better pay attention. We're in for real trouble ahead. That's all. I don't have to put it, make it any clearer. If you're not prepared, then you're going to be left sitting high and dry.
And we're prepared to go into a break. I know that. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And we do have some fractional gold in here. If you, you know, hey, you're over $2,100 for an ounce for an American Gold Eagle. How about that?
Wow.
So, and prices aren't going to, and I don't want to hear, it's too expensive to buy. I don't want to hear that at all. Like, yes, it's expensive, but what are you going to do? I don't care if gold gets to 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. What are you going to do with those paper dollars? If gold gets to $5,000, do you have any idea how weak your currency is going to be, your purchasing power? So there is no too high of a price for gold when you're converting those paper dollars into real money. And that's how you have to look at it. And it wasn't that long ago we were selling a tube of 20 gold eagles for, you know, 21,000 plus. Now you only get 10. So you're seeing the dollar grow, but so are prices. So that dollar just will get weaker. So anyway, Butch, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
And you know what you've been saying this for years, decades, and actually I have been too. It wasn't that long ago, a $50 gold piece was, you could buy them retail for $1,500. It wasn't many months ago. Now they're over 2,000. Wow. As I mentioned this on the past price program, if you bought gold back in 2001, if $25,000 worth, they're worth about $120,000 a day. So folks, you figure it out. You just figure it out. That's that simple. But this article, $7 a gallon for regular gasoline. At least one gas station in L.A. is getting that close to that mark. The folks will say, well, it's in California. Believe me, it's coming here, too. The average price of a gallon of self-serve regular gas in L.A. right now is $5.25 for regular gas, $5.25. And the Shell station on Olympic Boulevard and Fairfax Avenue in Mid-City was advertising unleaded gas, regular gas, for $6.99 a gallon. The price of premium was listed at $7.29 a gallon. You know, it won't happen here. Folks, it is happening here. It's just taking longer to catch up with us. It's happening here. My husband told me the price, and I said, well, and I was like $6. And I what? Said Joanna Esperez, who was pumping gas early Sunday morning. I think I put gas last week, something, and it was still for something. So I was just like, we need to go electric. Folks, that's what everybody's going to start thinking. That's what they want. I think we need to already, because that's insane. I don't think we ever paid that, ever. The people are going to start crying for electric vehicles, and you can believe me when I tell you this, that's going to be more expensive. Just maintain the battery is going to cost you more than probably electricity will. But when those cars will not last, they'll be like a new appliance made to last for 2 years and trash them. I'm telling you, folks, you better hang on to what you can to your internal combustion engines, because you're going to wish you had it one day. And that's all I can say, because there's no other way I can put it. We're playing right into the snare. Understand, yes, there's a shortage perhaps. Maybe there really is a shortage because of the war and other reasons. But this is part of the plan. Nothing happens in politics that isn't planned for a purpose. You can believe that. Now, here's a downturn, Melody, I hadn't thought about. U.S. retirement funds heavy on stocks brace for losses. I said U.S. retirement funds that are heavy into stocks brace for losses. Melody's been telling you this ever since I've known her. If your retirement's tied up in stocks, you're going to get hit sooner or later. A sustained downturn could squeeze state and local government budgets. Now, this is talking about state and federal government budgets. But folks, it's going to be everyone, because most people that have retirements have put a lot into stocks and bonds. Volatile stock markets are eroding the retirement savings of Americans, teachers, and firefighters after public pension systems ended last year with equity holding a 10-year high. Public pension funds had a median 61% of their assets in stocks as of December 31st, up from 54% 10 years ago, according to Wilshire Trust Universe Comparison Services. Since then, the Russia-Ukraine war, expectations that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates this month, have battered equity prices, reducing those holdings by billions of dollars. Reducing those holdings by billions of dollars already. No, the panic isn't in the market yet. You don't see it, but you're going to. As the nation's largest pension fund, the California Public Employees Retirement System, total reported holdings have fallen to $475 billion as of March 2nd, from $482 billion at the end of January. That's just a couple months, people. The S&P 500's total return was minus 2.71% during the same period. Roughly half of the California Worker Fund is in stocks. The situation highlights public retirement funds' enduring dependence on the stock market, the potential impact on local government services and municipal bond prices if losses continue. Smaller retirement systems tend to rely even more heavily on stocks than larger ones, which are more likely to seek returns from the private market assets like infrastructure and private equity. Folks, I'm telling you, this is going to hurt a lot. It's already hurting. The retirement funds for state and local governments has already dropped worth billions of dollars and dropped off the value already. It is coming, and it's going to hurt. Melody, I can foresee that school teachers, as you just said, firefighters who have already put in 25, 30 years at work and have retired, I can see the retirement being cut in half. I can see that. And I can also see for folks like you and I, perhaps, it could happen with Social Security and other benefits also, couldn't it?
Well, certainly it could. I mean, we've got so many things going on, and they're so intertwined with each other. And, yeah, but, you know, we've been talking about retirement accounts, talking about, you know, them going losing 50%. People, I guess, you know, when we talk about a budget, it doesn't seem like people really care about that.
I guess
they need a nuclear war to become concerned, and that's the problem. They don't understand how they're losing their purchasing power, even though the numbers might look the same on their quarterly statements, but their purchasing power has declined.
Well, that's
and
I've been crying this for years. People say, "Well, the use of the dollar is going to collapse." I know I didn't. I didn't set any dates or times. I said the dollar is collapsing. Every day it's worth less. Folks, it's not that the dollar isn't there. You pick it up and hold in your hand. It's not that it's not there and they still won't take it at a service station. It's just that it buys a lot less. That's the point of the dollar disappearing, collapsing. They're not going to let it drop overnight. That would, golly, they couldn't do that, at least not until they're ready for it. And they're not ready for it yet. But every time you pick up dollar bills, worth less.
Well, you know, Butch, we talked about having a correction in everything if there was a black swan event.
Mm-hmm.
If there's some sort of catastrophic event, the one event that no one is prepared for. Folks, what do you think Russia and Ukraine is? I mean, no, the world is not going to walk away. It's just not Russia and Ukraine. It's the world. There was and I don't mean to go back to this, but I mean, it's all tied. I mean, we can talk about it. We have been talking about it. We've been warning you about it. But we didn't know what that black swan was. We didn't know what that catastrophic event was. And I don't think we have it yet. I think this is the beginning of it. And you have an article on that. And just yes. Everyone who is sending weapons to Ukraine, what you think the Russians are just going to sit back? There's an article here, sending weapons to Ukraine will lead to a global collapse. I mean, I don't know how much clearer people need to hear. You know, yes, you're saying that these are, you know, this is coming from the Russian foreign ministry, and people are saying, well, yeah, they're going to say anything, and they're going to lie and so forth and whatnot. But I believe that. You know, with the West sending mercenaries, military equipment to Ukraine, it would cause a catastrophic development of the situation there. And I got a note here. It did come in from Rob West. I don't know. See if I can pull it up here real quick. Whenever I'm trying to pull up something real quick, you know it doesn't happen. Right?
That's always that way.
I'm looking. Rob, where are you?
You mean cover another little story while you're looking it up? Where did you find it?
Nope, go ahead.
Okay.
I'll still look for it.
Now, folks, again, this is not something I'm making up. Food crisis imminent. Repeat that. Food crisis imminent. Hungary bans all grain exports effective immediately. There was a time in our country, in the hearing that we call America, that we didn't need food imported. We raised all of our food. We didn't need to import foreign cars. We made all of our American-made automobiles right in this country. We made our own clothing. We made our own oil. And we made everything we needed to take care of ourselves. We did. And I'd say this, and y'all know me, know that I was not a Trump fan. I don't trust Trump. But when Trump was in office, we were pretty much energy independent. But as soon as Biden got in, the day he got in, he started shutting down pipelines. Do you think that was by coincidence? Do you think that he started shutting off the oil supply that we were dependent or that we could use for, that was our own? Or, do you think that just happened by accident? No, my friends. He's being used as, all of them have been used. I mean, Biden is probably one of the worst because the mentality is not able to do anything except to obey orders. Do you think this happened by chance? Why do you think Biden won the war so bad? And a little bit I'm going to share with you that his approval rating has went up since the war started.
Since his speech. Yeah. I think since his speech or the war.
Yeah, the speech, yeah. Since the war started. I mean, the war has helped him get the people's minds off what's going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, this article says, those who have it are no longer giving it away, and those who don't will soon find themselves in the middle of an epic food crisis. Just hours before we reported that Russia has effectively banned exports of fertilizers, moments ago, Hungary, one of Europe's most grain-rich nations, has circled the wagons and realizing which way the wind is blowing, just announced that it will be banning all grain exports effective immediately in a statement. Expect wheat prices already at record highs. Wheat prices already at record highs to promptly double from here in the next few weeks as the world realizes the extent of the global food crisis that is coming. Our suggestion, buy flour, rice, barley, and the other grains you can now rather than waiting 1 month to buy them because you have to. Now, folks, this is for real happening. This is not something that I'm just getting out of thin air. This is really happening. And I'm not going to go through all this article. But Arab Spring, you remember Arab Spring back, what was that, 7 years ago? It said Arab Spring's risk flourish as global food prices jump to record highs. Already jumped to record highs. Not waiting to, already jumped to record highs. So when do you think you should start stocking on some things? Buying some global food. Getting a reliable water filter. Getting some real money in your hand, something tangible that you can trade and swap with and maybe sell. I don't know. Just for example, back when some several years ago, I was telling people, Melody, one day soon, you'll not be able to find ammunition for your firearms. I said that. It'll be so high you can't afford it. I remember saying that. Back then, you could buy 550 rounds of 22 ammo for $7-$8 a box. Now, 1,000 rounds is $169. You think 22 ammo might be a good barter one day for somebody?
Mm.
See, these are things that maybe people don't think about, but ammo is going to be important. What if you, God forbid, you have to use it for anything, maybe have to shoot a rabbit, but if you can't buy ammo, how much good is your firearm? So,
now, you know what? You know what? It makes me wonder which manufacturer donated,
a million rounds? Yeah. Yes, I like
we can't get it here in the States, but they're giving it to Ukraine.
Yeah, I'd like to know that myself. I really would. Did you find the article from Rob?
I did. I mean, it was just a confirmation, confirming about the Russia and the list of countries that have given unfriendly actions against them. It means that these countries can expect retribution. Many of these countries really don't have a dog in this fight, he goes and writes, so I wonder how they were maybe forced, enticed to take an action. Anyway, Putin and their allies will respond with global separation tactics and world war possibilities and responses. Let's face it, over the years we've elected the wrong people and let them infiltrate governments, and yet we are still trying to recognize. That's like showing up at a gunfight with no weapons, or at best slingshot, and again with our media paid for the controlled, maybe we just don't know about the facts at all. That's what I think. I truly think so much, all the stations are promoting all of this propaganda. And he finishes, nevertheless, if Putin thinks these 17 countries are enemies of Russia, there will be troubles we have not yet seen. And these are all countries that, have given so much to Ukraine. And, it's, I don't know, Butch. Do we just sit by? We have no vital interests in Ukraine.
No. And my goodness.
We have none.
Our first president said, do not get entangled in foreign affairs.
Yeah.
We have become so entangled in everybody's affairs. It's like a rope, a web made out of rope, and we're starting to cut the cords. We're all going to fall through. I mean, we let it happen, and we were warned not to do that, but we let it happen, and now America is totally dependent on everybody else for things that just wasn't 50, 60 years ago we took care of ourselves. Folks, this worked very well into the hands of the globalists. Very well. They planned it, and we walk right into it.
We'll be right back because we're walking right into a break. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. I just want to say something real quick. I read a story that's really disturbing, Butch, more disturbing than everything that we've talked about so far. And it's going to be flying spiders on the East Coast coming up from, I think, Georgia, mm-hmm. all from Asia. They're attached to their web.
Yep.
And they get floated through the air.
I've seen those already. Have you not seen those before?
No, not spiders. I've seen...
Yeah.
I've seen things like webs, but I don't believe they're spider webs. I've seen the white stuff, but those aren't spider webs.
I've seen spiders flying through the air. I have, yes.
And they're spider webs?
Yes, they're hanging down a long web, and they're just floating through the air.
Good grief. Thank you, yep. Asia. You know, that's what we get with globalization. It's flying spiders, anyway.
What you got against spiders, anyway?
They're pretty creepy looking.
Well,
and they are poison.
Some
but they say
poison.
Their teeth probably aren't big enough to puncture the skin. And I don't know how dogs, I don't know if it, you know, if it, you know, I don't know, but, or babies punch.
Well,
but anyway.
You know what a granddaddy longleg is? They're the most poisonous spider out there, but they're not big enough to bite us. Yep, that's true. They're one of the most poisonous spiders out there, bar none. But they can't bite us. Their teeth aren't big enough. They're one of the most poisonous spiders there is. The granddaddy longleg. Anyway,
we got a call. We got a caller now. Hey. We got Greg from Michigan.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Great.
Craig. Yeah.
Craig.
Side note, women don't like spiders because they can imagine how many pairs of nylons and shoes they'd have to buy having eight legs.
Okay. That makes sense.
Anyway, the Ukraine thing, you know, the Hunter Biden involvement in that. Okay. And then I guess Pelosi's family and John Kerry's family are firmly involved in all that corruption, too. Mm-hmm. So we're going to send them all this aid. They're going to siphon a cut off for those families and send it back here. And Nancy Pelosi and the Bidens and the Kerrys get a little bit richer. That's what this is all about. That Putin went in there because this country, in the oil companies wanted to put a pipeline through Ukraine back before close to 2014, and the government that was friendly to Russia, they're cousins, he said thanks but no thanks. So they overthrew him. The CIA and NATO went in there in conjunction with Israel. The guy had to flee the country, went to Russia to be safe, and they put in the puppet governments that were friendly to the West.
That's true.
The New World Order.
That's true.
That's, if you want to blame anybody, blame Obama and Victoria Nuland and Hillary Clinton for all this, because they engineered the little revolution. Everything was going well. I mean, nothing in this world is going great, but I mean, everything was fairly peaceable. And then when the government got in there, that wasn't Russia friendly anymore, they started shelling Luhansk and Donetsk, two states in eastern Eastern Ukraine that spoke Russian, and they killed between 13 and 14,000 of these people. And Putin had enough of it. And he's going to go in there and protect them. I mean, Ukraine could stop this, and they're not going to surrender, and Russia's not going to take over Ukraine. He's going to demilitarize it and put a protective border around his country. We would do the same thing. I don't blame, you know, he got pushed. We poked the bear, and we poked the bear, and it got up from hibernation. And starts, now it's starting to chew legs.
Well, we're the one that broke our word.
I'm sorry?
I said, we're the one that broke the contract, so to speak. We said we wouldn't go one inch further towards the east with NATO, but we have.
Yeah,
and Putin
exactly,
had no choice.
Exactly.
He had no choice.
Yes, sir. And then, you know, I mean, go back to the Indians. How many treaties did we ever live up to there?
Yeah.
You know, you know they're lying when their lips are moving or they're signing a piece of paper. I mean, the corruption is, you know, it's just unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
You folks have a good day.
Thanks for the call, Craig. Good call.
You have a nice evening.
All right.
Thank you, Craig.
A very good call. Right on the money. But back to the issue. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, he was spot on, and that's, you know, but here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
And here we go.
And this article we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, Bill Ackman, says Russia attacking Ukraine means World War III has likely already started.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's wrong. But Bob Chapman said, told you and me both years ago that we'll start in the Balkans, and he kept saying it, even though everything was going on in the Middle East, he kept saying that.
Yep.
But billionaire hedge fund manager Bill Ackman has warned that World War III has likely started already amid Russia's invasion of Ukraine. In January 2020, he said, I had nightmares about the potential for a pandemic, but everyone seemed to think I was crazy. I'm still having similar nightmares now, Ackman said via Twitter late Saturday. In early 2020, when fewer than 7,000 coronavirus cases have been confirmed in the U.S., Ackman, who is CEO of Pershing Square Capital, called for a 30-day national lockdown and warned that hell is coming in an interview with CNBC. Ackman later defended his comments after his fund announced shortly thereafter that it had made more than $2 billion on bets against the markets. On Saturday, Ackman said that World War III has likely started already, but we have been slow to recognize it, although he added that there was much more we can do before you enter a hot war with Russia. So, I want to say I hope he's wrong, but I can't say that he is. I really can't, because I see this escalating every day. We just have to wait and see what the future brings. Well, it's not looking pretty right now. And the Russian ruble has tanked to an all-time low in trade. And that is not going to play well with the Russian people, which is going to make them angry for a lot of reasons. But anytime you hit somebody in the pocketbook, no matter who they are, they get angry. And Americans are going to start getting angry too now because of what's happening. They said Russian ruble tanks as bids evaporate in offshore trade. Of course it does. And it is. But said, and this article says Ukraine-Russian conflict, a globalist cover to move U.S. dollar as world reserve currency. Could that be? Is that possible? Sure, it's possible. With the world's economic sanctions against Russia in response to invasion of Ukraine beginning to take effect, the American dollar's role as a world reserve currency is being questioned. This week, dozens of mainstream media outlets like The Hill, Bloomberg, and Yahoo Finance ran headlines such as, "The weaponization of finance threatens the future of the dollar standard." Essentially, these outlets are accurately warning the world's economic assaults on Russia could push the nation closer to China, a country openly working to make its currency the new world reserve. And folks, they've been doing this for years. The yuan has been in competition with the dollar, and they want the yuan to be the world reserve. The Hill explains, now faced with a distinct possibility of the emergence of a China-Russian economic and strategic partnership, we may be entering a new phase that involves a geopolitical contest for global influence across multiple spheres. China has been open about its long-run desire to supplant the U.S. dollar centric post-World War II global monetary order. China and Russia already partnered in 2020 on an initiative meant to reduce each nation's reliance on the dollar, and recently China has promoted moving to a digital yuan. Using the SWIFT bank system in sanctions against Russia is now further pushing the country towards replacing the dollar with China's digital yuan payment system, according to Chinese researchers. In 2019, journalist Ben Swan warned of the SWIFT system being weaponized during an appearance on RT. Wow, imagine, and that just happened. Swan also suggested cryptocurrencies could eventually be the way nations like Russia and China get around SWIFT payment processing system. That could be a very absolute right on spot on article there. And yes, they did weaponize the SWIFT banking trade. They just did it last week, week before last. They sure did. So they now say the world soon be ready for central bank digital currencies. The IMF thinks so. Melody, we're heading down total complete control, are we not?
You know, we certainly are. But I mean, just think, in order for any of that to be processed into the global system, there has to be a catastrophic event.
And we may be seeing it in the making.
So it just depends. And you know what? I saw an article today, the headline. I bet I can't find that now. But it talks about radical Christians. The article was Radical Christians are the ones that believe that Jesus is coming and we're heading into end times. We're in end times. That's how they classify us anymore. That's how they, you know, almost demonize us anymore.
Sure. Absolutely.
Radical. I don't know, that headline just, you know, it was just sort of, it just puts everything into place exactly where we're at.
Any, how do you put this? Anything is still hangs on to the old ideas of a moral basis, a sound thinking method that you think on things logically, not emotionally. You don't operate in fear. It's going to be attacked because it goes in the face of the New World Order. They want everybody afraid and obey. Governments have enslaved people for how long, Melody, through fear? How many of them done that through fear? A little boogeyman coming up to get you. We got to get you. We have to take care of you to keep you safe. So you got to turn in your guns. You got to stay home for a month or whatever. How many times have we been frightened into the cage?
Yeah.
This is nothing new. But this article I just mentioned, where the world soon be ready for central bank digital currencies, the IMF is saying, yes, we're going to go central, worldwide. The move towards central bank digital currencies is gaining momentum, driven by the ingenuity of central banks. Now, why would central banks want a digital currency? Folks, think about it. They already control the world's economic system. How much simpler would it be if they had digital currencies? As the barrage of Western sanctions visit all manner of pain upon Russia's economy, attention is turning in some quarters to potential ways of circumventing U.S. economic sanctions in the future. One potential weapon for defanging future sanctions is central bank digital currency. Netflix, according to St. Louis McKellen, the digital editor of Digital Monetary Institute, the official monetary and financial institution forum. Cross-border East central bank digital currency networks are in development across Asia, like the MCBDC bridge, which involves Thailand, Hong Kong, China, and the United Arab Emirates. Russia's central bank is working on digital ruble, and Governor Elmira Nebelina has expressed interest in its value as a means of facilitating cross-border payments, particularly with China. We're heading down that roadway, like it or not, Melody. The digital yuan is just, you know, ready to break through. I mean, we're heading down a total worldwide control of finances. I wonder if that could be would they call me a radical Christian because I think that's fulfilling prophecy? I certainly see a fulfilling prophecy. I think anybody with no scripture at all sees just fulfilling prophecy. A one-world banking system has to go hand-in-hand with a one-world religion. And then, folks, this is all for real. It's happening right now. And as we speak, it's happening. These are not future events. They're already here. Go ahead, Melody.
No, I mean, I agree, and we are seeing these changes, and a lot of these changes aren't going to happen, though, until that, you know, so it tells us that we're closer and closer for something that happens.
They're
and that's what this, that's why this concerns this Russia, Ukraine. It's not going to go away. He's not going to leave. He's going to do, I don't think he wants Poland. I don't think he wants all those other nations. I just don't.
I don't either.
I think he just wants Ukraine, maybe that other little country, and that's it. It gives them a lot of control. It gives them a lot of, you know, it brings back a little bit of Russia. I mean, I don't think they have, they know that he wouldn't have the ability to take over those other European countries. He just wouldn't.
No, he wouldn't. Not conventionally anyway. No way. No way.
So, you know, and I still don't understand why the president of Ukraine, why nobody's on his case. I mean, he was there for how many years? He didn't strengthen the army. He didn't do anything. And he knew that Russia was trying to go in there. We knew for how many months that Russia was planning, that troops were moving and so forth. And he did nothing about it. In fact, people were saying, and he was saying, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. People weren't concerned. Even up to a week.
That's true.
But we knew it.
Very
true. And he did nothing. So, anyway, I hear the music. We got to do something. We're going to have to leave. So, I'll be back tomorrow. So, until then, ladies and gentlemen, please be safe. Take care and God bless.
Pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.